Johnny Mag with your daily comedy news. Trevor Noah was talking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, and he noted that there's one character in particular who isn't getting the warmest welcome. That's actress Moses Ingram. She plays the Inquisitor that's chasing after Obi-Wan. She faced a barrage of racist attacks following last week's premiere. Trevor said, "Nobody should have to just shut up and take racism, especially in Star Wars. Like, guys, what is this? From the beginning, this has been a series where no one thinks twice if Harrison Ford is best friends with a giant dog bear or if a brother and sister want to smash. No one complains about that. They're not getting death threats." He says he's so tired of fans attacking black people in Star Wars when there are so many other races and species they could be bigoted against. He jokingly urged racist Star Wars fans to mix it up and think bigger by going after ethnic groups that only exist in that universe. He believes that Star Wars needs to come back even harder against the racists. They should give Princess Leia a new black boyfriend. From Yahoo, Kenny Williams Jr. writes, "As someone present at the comedy show, I'm here to tell you why I believe every word that Monique is saying. Yes, it's my new favorite topic, the Monique vs. D.L. Hughley fight." Kenny writes, "Before Monique announced the start of her set, the crowd went into an uproar of applause. You see, we love Monique in Detroit. We always have and always will. The vast majority of us stood up to welcome this queen back to the Motor City. As we eventually settled, she began to tell us of this alleged contractual mishap, in which her contract stated that she was the headliner and would close the show. She then proceeded down the road of delivering a fiery read that can only be compared to similar verbal shakedowns from Joan Collins' character of Alexis Carrington in Dynasty. That's random. She stated that Hughley was upset because he felt like he should have been the headliner. She also stated that he dismissed her highly decorative career by saying she isn't on the same level as Dave Chappelle or Amy Schumer. Monique, you're not on the same level as Dave Chappelle. You're not. Sorry. You've likely seen that rant by now, along with her abundance of receipts. But what I've noticed is there's no footage of Hughley's response or comedy set. When Hughley made his way onto the scene, he made some dry jokes that we're all sadly accustomed to by now. But for me, the shocker was the blatant transphobia. Oh no. Comedians, can you stop? Talk about something else, guys. Kenny wrote, in one of DL's jokes, he told the crowd that he doesn't prefer trans women because he likes his women put together organically. What does that even mean? He stated that regardless of someone's gender transition from man to woman, they'd still be getting a call from the doctor about a prostate exam. I was appalled. For someone who allegedly feels that he should have been the headliner of a show where multiple people in the audience might identify as LGBTQ+, it would have behooved him not to be transphobic. Instead, whereas Monique talked about her life's experiences, career, and much more while making a comedic, Hughley had to resort to stale, lackluster, and dangerous barbs at a community that already faces so much violence. Some more details about Just for Laughs escapes. I'll casually refer to this as the Cancun Comedy Festival, huh? I think a certain podcast should go. You want me to cover this, don't you guys? I don't know. I'm going to fund this, but I got to go. It's November 2nd to the 6th in Cancun. Here's the lineup so far. Dane Cook, Tim Dillon, who y'all know I love, Craig Robinson, Jeff Ross, and many more. Guests can also enjoy live comedy podcast recordings while relaxing by the pool. Hey, I could do that. I could sit in a recliner and read this thing. It's not like I've never done a poolside edition of Daily Comedy News. Come on. There'll also be after-hours beach parties. I may have to reach out to the Borsello Maya Grand Resorts to see if they want this show here. Vulture had Micah Cat Williams on the Good One podcast. They shared a very lengthy transcript. Vulture said, "I'm interested in comedians who give themselves different stage names, as in Cat Williams. In The New Yorker in 2009, it was said in the 90s that your son dropped a bottle on you and it knocked out your two front teeth, which made you start wearing a hat that would cast a shadow over the front of your mouth, which inspired you, Micah, to go by Cat in the Hat with two T's, Williams, which got shortened to Cat Williams. Decades later, who is Micah Williams' first name? Is it Micah? And who's Cat?" Cat Williams said, "This is really important. Almost all of that is true. And yet, together, none of that makes any sense or could possibly be true whatsoever. I was conceived at the Catskill Mountains." They went to the Catskills and they went to the Sierra Mountains. So that's how Cat and Sierra are both my middle names. I stopped going by my first name because that was my son's name and he's not a junior. I was Cat in the Hat the entire time. I got a cease and desist letter from Disney before I even made $10,000 in stand-up and was considered quitting because I couldn't make a living. They sent a broke comedian a cease and desist from the biggest corporation in the globe, and I said, if Disney even knows I exist, I'm going to make it. But they were very clear. I couldn't use Cat in the Hat or any variation of it. This is why I just switched to Cat Williams. It's on my ID and on my birth certificate because that's my name. I was trying to have a stage name and they wouldn't allow me to have a stage name. As for the tea thing, I'm not sure. I had an interviewer say he thought I did cocaine the whole time and I went, well, how many studies do I need to go before I overdose? But yeah, my son was 9 months old and that happened 2 weeks before I had to do my first movie, but I used the money to get him fixed. Even today, there's a whole story like, oh, I used to be broken, didn't have any teeth. No, I don't have any recollection of that. The Hollywood Reporter did a roundtable with several comedians. Some of those comedians, Gerard Carmichael and Michael Che, seems like they had really good chemistry. The Hollywood Reporter asked Carmichael, do you feel as you hoped you'd feel on the other side of your special? Pay attention. Carmichael says, I'll give the shortest answer I can. It's a personal thing that I made, and I'm still working through a lot of it in my actual life, right? So it's probably the best work of my life, and it was also possibly the saddest I've ever been, and I accept the balance. What I want from it, I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, I'm here at this roundtable. It's an odd thing to even do press around. I promised my friend I'd stop being sad on my press tour. Just like a sad boy, my mom won't call me. And it's an odd thing to be like, and give me an Emmy for it. Like, do I want one? Sure. Michael Che said, that was your shortest answer possible? Then they started talking about comedians with family. Che said, show business becomes your family because it's hard to ask people outside of it for advice or relate to them in any way about it. So if I have a tough question, I might ask an older showbiz guy before I ask my dad. THR was curious who's on the short list. Che said, Lorne Michaels is on the short list. I talked to Dave Chappelle. I actually talked to Gerard about stuff just as peers because we've been going through a similar thing since we started. Then they talked about cancel culture. Che, I think the lie that we tell each other and ourselves is that we don't feel that, but we feel everything. You feel the fear, you feel the confidence, you feel the anger, you feel the humor. You run the gamut. It's just that one outweighs the other. And one of the cool things that comedy can do is explore what it feels like in every single avenue. And when people see it, they understand. Oh yeah, I get that. Carmichael said, but cancellation, that's not real. The boogeyman doesn't exist. We need to get over that. If you do something wrong in your personal life, you should go to jail, like actual jail. And then everything else is like, what are we talking about? If you make art and it causes some contention or it causes some whatever, I mean, that's part of it. But the cancellation thing, I think that's just to give boring people something interesting to talk about, like a ghost villain. I also want to say I only unbuttoned this shirt because you look real sexy with the top unbuttoned, and I didn't know we were doing that. Che said, it's funny to say that right after you say cancel culture doesn't exist, and now you're just sexually assaulting this guy. Awkward segue from the Daily Mail. Comic and actor Andy Dick, facing a jury trial for allegedly groping a Lyft driver, lost his bid to prevent prosecutors from using evidence against him from another case where he was convicted of grabbing a woman's butt. The LA district attorney asked the judge to allow testimony from the victim of the butt-grabbing incident. The judge has ruled that the butt-grabbing accuser can testify in the Lyft driver trial in front of jurors who are being selected. In the current legal crisis, Andy Dick is charged with misdemeanor sexual battery after a Lyft driver claimed that Andy grabbed his genitals during a car ride. Andy Dick has pleaded not guilty, telling DailyMail.com it did not happen. In happier news from Broadway world, Peacock has announced that Will Arnett will star and voice iconic main character Sweet Tooth in the new action comedy series Twisted Metal, a live-action adaptation of the global video game phenomenon. Arnett will voice Sweet Tooth, a hilarious and terrifying hulk of a man who is as emotional as he is cunning, a lover of chaos. This majestic, rage-filled killer dons an ever-smiling clown mask and uses Las Vegas as his own personal kill ground. What's funny about this, Johnny Mac? I don't know. Anthony Mackie, you know, the Falcon, he's in this as well. So is Stephanie Beatriz, you know her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Pretty cool.
Do you know what uncancel means?
Have you ever thought about what happened to those TV shows that were advertised every single week until their plug was ultimately pulled? Well, we have. Welcome to the show that's bringing dead TV back from the grave. We review pilot and finale episodes of television series that disappeared as quickly as they debuted. Maybe we will like the show enough to want to bring life back into its corpse, or maybe it's better left dead. Will we leave it in the trash, or will we give it a second pass? Either way, this is Uncancelled, giving trash TV the chance it never deserved.
On the Facebook group page, Elise weighed in on the Mount Rushmore of comedy. Elise writes, maybe not all the most popular picks, but for me, Robin Williams, Ellen, Lewis Black, Eddie Murphy. Thank you for chiming in there. I went with Pryor, Carlin, Bob Hope, Johnny Carson. As for Eddie Murphy, and I talked about this recently, I'm from the 1980s, as I self-described, and we all worship those Eddie Murphy specials and albums, and at one point could probably do half the album from memory. And to this day, if you say Lemonade around me, I'll either go into The Simpsons, Itchy and Scratchy Become Friends and do Lemonade, please. Or I'll go into the Elvis Presley Lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink. But as I studied Eddie Murphy more, or more accurately, became more familiar with Richard Pryor, as I described it the other day, I love Greta Van Fleet's music, but they're clearly doing Led Zeppelin. That's how I feel about Eddie and Pryor. Not that I don't drive around listening to Greta. I do, and I enjoy the heck out of it. But kind of gotta acknowledge there was another comedian walking around in a red suit doing similar voices. But at least I appreciate you writing in. I gotta tell you, some days I jump in the studio here and I can just knock these out. You're not hearing it, but there's been 10,000 edits in this episode. I can't speak today. I keep tripping over my own words. Vulture had done that thing asking what comedians would do if they had a Marvel-sized budget. Let's see what Joe Castle Baker says. Joe says, it would be a lot like a Marvel movie because it would be long, there'd be a lot of propaganda, and it might be bad, it might be really bad, but I would definitely pay myself $100 million because I know that I would just get so bullied after the special came out that I would need the money to run away from society. We'd shoot it on a cruise ship, and there's a lot of pyrotechnics. The Philharmonic Orchestra plays throughout. It's almost like a wedding. Imagine a very elegant dining experience. Everyone that worked on this special would be treated like a king and fed the most luxurious Michelin-quality food. I'd hire a team of writers that are extremely expensive, the kind of comedians that usually hire other writers, so then they would hire writers. So it'd be like an MLM of comedy writers where I have a team of writers, they have a team, and then they have a team, and it keeps going and going. But instead of the money trickling up, it's just all the millions of dollars trickling down through all of them. So at a certain point, the jokes wouldn't really even be personal to me. They would be broad, which I think is also very Marvel. At some point, there's a medical emergency and I leap into action. It's totally fake, but we're all pretending this is an organic thing that happened, and it makes the special go viral. In the middle of Joe Castle Baker's special, there's a medical emergency and he saved this woman's life. She was going into labor and then he was about to deliver the baby right there, but that was clear that she needed to have an emergency C-section. Luckily, he was thinking about pre-med for a long time and he was able to do it. At the end of the day, you know, it's just a standard special where I talk about myself on stage and I get paid $100 million. That's your comedy news for today. I got to record two more of these and I can't speak today. I don't even have a coffee down here in the studio. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Normal episodes all weekend. That's what I'm about to record. I have a soccer tournament. I can't sit in the basement all weekend. Gotta be soccer dad. I love being soccer dad, actually. So normal episodes all weekend. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. Meet you here tomorrow.